Pundits and politicians continued to dissect President Obama's speech in Cairo yesterday. But for one American, it wasn't the references to Iraq or Afghanistan or Israel that stood out. It was this passage.
We'll open centers of scientific excellence in Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, and appoint new science envoys to collaborate on programs that develop new sources of energy, create green jobs, digitize records, clean water, grow new crops.
Now, Vaughn Tarikian, you head the Center for Science Diplomacy at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And this idea for science envoys, this is something you've been pushing for several years. Explain it.
It is. And in fact, it takes advantage of one of the great strengths that the United States has in engaging the world, which is to take advantage of the predominance of science expertise that exists in the United States, both in terms of solving very important global problems, climate change, infectious disease, sustainability, but also serving as wonderful ambassadors for the values and priorities that the United States places in terms of engaging with the rest of the world.
But the U.S. sends all sorts of people overseas as goodwill ambassadors, actors, athletes, musicians. Why do you think it's so important to have scientific ambassadors, especially in establishing a U.S.-Muslim dialogue?
I think it's when you look at the way in which the world views the United States, it respects many elements of it, including our cultural contributions, our economic contributions, our philosophical contributions to the idea of freedom and liberty. But it shouldn't be lost that, in fact, our science and innovation and technology infrastructure has for a long time been, not only in the Muslim world, but there in great numbers, a really valuable asset to the way that people view the United States, whether it's because they've benefited from many of the inventions and discoveries that have taken place in the U.S. scientific community, or because many people themselves have come to the United States and studied in science and engineering and technology and math. So they're aware of the community that exists. So they have a natural connection to it.
So say I am one of these scientific envoys and I go overseas to some capital somewhere. What would I actually be doing?
So the key elements are that you would have some level of expertise and you'd be able to reach out to the academic and scientific community in those countries to begin to develop networks and connections. But critically, you'd be able to interface and interact with the public of these countries, students, both at university level, but critically at the elementary level as well, to describe your research, to talk about your passion of why you got into a certain scientific field, what motivates you, what drives you, how the types of things you're doing are not only advancing human understanding, but in fact, human welfare.
Run us through briefly, if you would, the history of how these collaborations, these scientific collaborations have operated, especially during the Cold War when U.S. and Soviet and Eastern Bloc politicians weren't talking, but scientists were.
Sure. No, there's a long history for the United States to take advantage of science cooperation as a way to build bridges. The government relationships are not so strong. And so throughout the particularly the end of the Cold War, through the 70s and the 80s, U.S. and Soviet scientists actually interacted and had dialogues on non-governmental, non-official basis, though of course the governments knew about them, to start building confidence and begin to better understand the different elements of what each one of them was working on, what each one of them might be able to contribute to the global scientific enterprise. You know, we think of it as it provided a little bit of a thread that could help link together societies even when other pieces were not so strong.
I mean, the idea for science ambassadors that you and others have been pushing for some time, even before the president's speech, was gaining some traction in Washington. And there's a bill making its way through Congress that's sponsored by Senator Richard Lugar. Tell us what that bill would actually do.
Senator Lugar's bill actually calls upon the State Department through its cultural bureaus to highlight the role and appoint science envoys, those that are from outside of government. So not creating government scientists, but actually reaching out to the very robust scientific community, particularly some of the better known scientists, the large number of Nobel Prize winners, the large number of National Academy of Science members that the United States has, to go out around the world and to explain their research, to interact with other scientists, but critically with the publics and policymakers in many countries.
Aren't we in competition, though, with other countries for, you know, green technology, for example?
There's always that balance between competition and collaboration. And one of the things that comes into play is, from a scientific standpoint, is you create the tableau for discovery. That translation to innovation is actually something that takes place in our businesses and our industries and our startups. And that's where there's a lot of competition. But creating that common framework or the common basis for basic information and basic knowledge is actually critical to then the next steps of how it becomes marketed and how it becomes how it goes to innovation.
Vaughn Tarikian heads the Center for Scientific Diplomacy at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He spoke to us from Washington. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.